My name is Barbara Twist, and I'm one of the programmers for the Cinetopia Film Festival.
I'm Brian Hunter, and I am also a programmer for the Cinetopia International Film Festival.
So how long have you guys been working for the festival?
The film festival started the year that I started at the Michigan Theater, so I've been helping out with the festival for 4 years, but this is my first year helping out with programming.
I've been doing the programming for 4 years now.
So you guys are both old hands at this.
Old ranch hands, old farm hands.
So many hands, so old.
So tell me about the 2015 program. I've been looking at the program online, and it looks amazing. What kind of stuff have you guys both been kind of responsible for getting in front of the eyeballs this year?
I was excited because the very first thing we booked this year was the best thing I saw at Sundance, and it's still probably the best thing I've seen all year, which is The Best of Enemies, the documentary about the Gore Vidal, William F. Buckley Jr. debates of 1968. When I saw it at Sundance, it just blew me away. I thought tonally it was just this fantastic film. I thought that it was really smart in its choices. Because, I mean, I think the Buckley-Vidal debates there's been a lot said about them. But to see it done so fresh is pretty fantastic. The documentaries, I think, are the things that I'm pretty excited about this year. So
I am a little bit more of kind of scattered. I have very specific areas of film that I'm interested in. American indies, French films, and Korean films. And that's literally what I programmed. At Sundance 2014, I saw this amazing film called Imperial Dreams. That's about an aspiring writer who returns home from prison and has to take care of his son. And he's in the Watts neighborhood of Los Angeles. And it was just one of the most moving, emotional, well-acted, well-directed, the best film I saw at Sundance 2014. And I was super psyched to play it at Cinetopia last year. And I was encouraging Brian. I was like, gotta book it. It's amazing. But they were going through distribution and it didn't work out. And so this year came around and I was like, that's it. Like, we've got to play this film. And so we just pushed really hard to be able to get it. And it finally worked out. So I'm super, super psyched to bring that one. I think it's just such an incredible story. And then the other one that I'm really excited about is one I saw at Toronto back in September. And it was one I just sort of stumbled into. I'm really interested in Korean film. I just think that Korean film is better than any other film in any country, frankly.
Don't hold back, Barbara.
It's called In Her Place. And it's about these three women, one of whom is this young pregnant teenager. Then there's the woman who's adopting the baby. And then the mother of the pregnant teenager. And it sort of just follows them. It's a sort of peaceful yet tense drama that sort of unfolds in the Korean countryside. It's just so beautiful and incredible. And I came back from Toronto and we had barely begun to, you know, Brian had his, you know, kind of a short list from TIFF. And that was like the one that I was like, okay, we got to do this. It's such a good film. So that's, and then I programmed some French films as well. But yeah, so Brian, I think definitely he killed it with the documentaries and he also did a ton of the narrative stuff. And I sort of was a little more focused on some of the foreign films and some of the American indies.
Now, just to remind our listeners, like, we've talked with Cinetopia every year since you guys were around. This is kind of a curated festival. You guys go out, you go to all these different festivals around the country, around the world, and bring back to Ann Arbor, to Detroit, kind of the best of the best. And it runs over a period of, you guys have expanded this year to be more than just, I think it was, 5 days last year? But now it's like, how many days does this run?
14.
14 days. 14 very long days.
You guys have your work cut out for you.
I think the thing that makes it seem a lot less daunting to me, and we talked about this for a while, we thought about this really hard, and is the fact that how we're approaching it is it's two different film festivals in two towns, but in the middle is this really great Orson Welles symposium that we're doing with the University of Michigan. It feels like we'll get a break in between, but yeah, it's 14 solid days.
it's more than just Detroit and Ann Arbor this year. I mean, I'm seeing stuff that's playing at the Maple Theater up in Birmingham. I'm seeing stuff that's playing at the Redford Theater. You guys have just bitten off so much, and it's just amazing that you can pull this thing off.
Well, we're not there yet. We'll see what happens.
I think we just, you know, we set out with a goal of doing, you know, we felt last year we did a lot of films. And so it was like, okay, this year we might scale back a little bit. And so we're like, okay, we're going to do 40 films and we have 75. Oops. We just got so excited and there were so many good things. And it's like, even with the Michigan in State where we have four screens running every day year round, we just can't get in everything that we want to show in the Ann Arbor and Detroit market. And so it was just like, these are so many great films. And it was like, we just keep adding them on. So yeah, I really hope everyone gets a pass because there's just too many films. It would be nuts to get tickets. Just buy a pass. Just make it easy for yourself.
I think it really speaks to like the support from our partners too. I mean, to program theaters like the Senate and the Redford and the Maple and the Arab American National Museum and the Charles Wright Museum. It's like, it's a really big deal. And it's, you know, you try to be respectful of what everybody's doing and you try to understand their vibe and what they're going for. I hope everybody's happy. I'm just excited to play Dune.
I can't tell you how excited I am that you guys are showing Dune on the big screen. This is just amazing to me. I'm a huge Dune fan.
I went and saw David Lynch. So Dune is an amazing, I love it. It's one of my favorite movies. But I went and saw David Lynch do a thing about transcendental meditation a number of years ago. And he came out and he's like, I'm going to do the Q&A first because I know you guys are going to want to just like talk about all this other stuff that I'm not here to talk about. So let's get it out of the way. And if he took 100 questions, 95 of them were on Dune. And it blew my mind. I did not realize there were so many Dune fans out there hidden away. Come out and see it, guys. It's your time to shine.
I'm going to let everyone in on a horrifying secret, and that is that I've not seen Lawrence of Arabia. And so I'm going to be – so it becomes one of those things like after you haven't seen it for a while, you're like, well, I can't just watch it on a TV. I can't just – you know, I have to really see it. Like if I've waited this long, I need to see it. And so the fact that we're doing it in 70 millimeter, like, so anyone who wants to join me on Sunday, June 7th at the Redford, I will be watching Lawrence for the first time ever. And I'm going to be like, I just want to craft a group. I just want to get a group of people to go, people who haven't seen it, people who have seen it, and just, I'm so excited for it. But yeah, it's definitely, I was like a little ashamed that I haven't seen it yet.
And if I could just shill for our other 70 millimeter film, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You don't get to see Ghostbusters in 70 millimeter very often. So
I had no idea that they ever struck a 70 mil print of that.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised, to be honest with you, when I saw it on the list that Sony sent over. So I could not pass it up.
Barbara, just to make you feel a little bit better, I haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia either. And it is one of those things, like I missed it when it showed at the Fox. I don't know how many years ago, like
50 years ago when it played at the Fox, you missed it. And
they were doing a series back in like mid 90s and they showed things like Casablanca, right, and Citizen Kane and all these things. And one of the screenings, well, Spartacus they did, but one of the screenings was Lawrence of Arabia and I didn't make it. And I kick myself to this day. So now I finally have a chance to redeem myself and see it in glorious 70 millimeter at one of the great film palaces of Michigan at the Redford Theater.
Also, don't scoff at that 4K restoration of Lawrence of Arabia from a few years ago is like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. That print is so killer. It's so good.
And I'm hoping to make it over a little bit early that day. I want to go see the Tab Hunter Confidential documentary as well.
Yeah, and we're going to have John Glover, who's one of the producers, is going to be there doing a Q&A. That's one area of the programming that I've been working on with Drew Waller, who's been sort of – Drew's been getting all the talent, and then I'm going to kind of been helping coordinate them. But we – a lot of the films do have a Q&A either in person or through Skype. Or we're working with like a local organization to kind of do a talk back after the screening. Cause that's something I think that really sets apart the festival screenings from our regular everyday screenings, is that you see these great films and then you actually get to talk about them, or you get to talk to a person who was involved in the making of the film, which I think is really interesting and such a unique perspective to kind of get almost the behind the scenes look at the film.
Who are some of the other folks that are either going to be calling in or coming in for this festival?
Besides Still Waters, which is a great Michigan-made film, actually, Chris Lowell, he's in Veronica Mars. He's the director of Besides Still Waters, so he'll be coming in for the one of the Ann Arbor screenings. Malik Vital, who directed Imperial Dreams, will be coming in the first week for the Detroit screenings. We've got an actor from Becoming Bulletproof, which is a documentary about making film. He's going to be in town. The director for In Her Place is going to be in town. There's a good long list, and we'll be adding them to our website as everyone confirms. But I'm really excited. I think we've got some really cool people who are going to be part of the festival.
Now, you mentioned the Orson Welles Symposium. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I know U of M is one of the major hubs when it comes to Orson Welles scholarship.
University of Michigan has the Orson Welles papers from Oya Kodar and also from Richard Wilson. It's incredible what they found. And they also just recently purchased the unfinished biography. I think it's an autobiography. Unfinished autobiography of Orson Welles. So they have an incredible trove of things in their archive. And so they'll be doing 2 days worth of panels with Welles scholars from around the country and actually around the world talking about Orson Welles. And then we'll be doing a retrospective, sort of a mini retrospective of some of his films, as well as presenting a couple, a script, doing sort of a live stage reading of a script that was never finished. And there's a great documentary by Chuck Workman that we'll be doing, as well as the Munich Film Museum curator, Stefan Drosler, is going to present two different programs of clips from television and some unfinished films that have never really been seen before. So it's going to be this great sort of learning a lot about the history of Welles and kind of what we already know, but also a presentation of a lot of new works that have never been seen before or have not been seen by very many people. And so I think it's going to be this great, I mean, it's the centenary of Orson Welles. There's so much, you know, it's sort of a revisiting of Orson Welles. For me, at least, you see so many great visionaries now, directors. Oh, you know, that director is a visionary, or that director has done this amazing, you know, work. But really, Orson Welles is the original, I mean, to me, at least, the original visionary in film. And so I think this is kind of, it's a awesome opportunity to take another look at him and sort of go beyond Citizen Kane, which is what most people know, and really dive in deep to all of the incredible film that he did, both on screen and behind screen, and some of the other stuff that he did too.
Well, I'm actually kind of glad that you guys aren't showing Kane, that you're just kind of going right to Amberson's and you've got Too Much Johnson showing. I mean, the ones that aren't necessarily thought of when it comes to Welles. And I mean, of course, showing Chimes at Midnight is just amazing. And I'm very curious to see what version of Mr. Arkadin that you show, just because there have been so many different cuts of that. I'm really champing at the bit to check out what's there. And then, of course, yeah, the scholarship. I mean, did I read right that Oja Kodar is actually going to be there?
Yep.
Yes.
And then Jonathan Rosenbaum, who we have had on the show before, who is an immense Welles scholar. I'm really excited to see him in person and hear him talk about Welles.
The Welles thing, this is like sort of this mind-blowing symposium, because it's like the F for Fake screening is a 35mm print, which is super cool, in my opinion, to get all these like really important Welles people in a room to talk about this stuff, and to not show the easy stuff, to not show The Third Man, like you said, to skip ahead. Because at this point, I guess you could talk about Citizen Kane all the time, but at a certain point, that's boring. I'm excited to see the Welles stuff. I'm excited to see how people react to how that stuff is presented and the context of how that stuff is presented. If it changes people's opinions on things. It's like a film like Mr. Arcadian is like, people are down on that film, but I think given the right context and looked at it from a scholarly point of view, that kind of makes it this better film. So
what are you guys excited to hear people talk about? I mean, because I know going to the festival in years past, you get the people who kind of hang out in the lobby between the screenings and chat about the movies. What are the movies that you're the most excited for people to show, even if they weren't necessarily the ones that you programmed?
I'm excited to see how people react to The Best of Enemies. I mean, it's a film that I've been carrying around for a while. I don't want to sound like I'm just totally smitten with that film. I want to see how people react to... I want to see if people, like, get into the festival spirit more. I'm always excited to see every year people taking more chances and going outside of their comfort zones and trying to see more movies and pushing themselves not just to see two or three movies, but to see six or seven or eight or nine movies. And I think we've given our audience an opportunity to do that, to really embrace a film. That's some of the stuff I'm excited for.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what people think of the Detroit Voices Shorts program, which is a really cool thing that we do every year. As well as, similar to what Brian said, just kind of getting into the festival feel. And just, I want to see people just go to the next movie. That's because, I promise you, we did actually think about all the films that are in this program. And we believe that you will enjoy them. You know, and if you need a recommendation, like, we're around. We're happy to give recommendations. But I think that every film has its merits. There's not a single one on here that I don't think I would not enjoy. I just did some double negatives there. I would enjoy all the films that are here.
Figure it out.
I'm really glad to see that you guys are showing the director's cut of 54, because we had Mark Christopher on the show a few months ago and he was telling us about it, and it just sounds like it's going to be really remarkable.
That's one where we have one of the producers, Ira Deutschman, is going to come in and talk about the film and the process and everything like that.
How many festivals did you end up going to throughout the year to kind of find some of these films that you're bringing to us?
We did Toronto, we did Sundance, Cleveland, South By. I think it was just those four. And then Brian does, we have really, really wonderful distributors. Because we've got the Art House year round, we're working with a lot of these people throughout the year. And they're so great about sending screeners and just kind of keeping us updated throughout the year. So Brian does a lot of research of other festivals. And then we've got this actually sort of an aggregator, this site that pulls together information for all the festivals that are going on currently in different films. So Brian will filter through that. And then some of it's like word of mouth, or, you know, like I remembered I saw Beside Still Waters when I was in on the jury for the Austin Film Festival in 2013. And I really liked it. And it had been shot in Michigan and they were finally ready to release it. So that came back around. Same with Imperial Dreams. It sort of came back around. And then a lot of the other stuff sort of is just a combination. It cropped up either because we saw it at a festival, because, you know, someone had wanted to play it in a previous year. We've got a lot of great local organizations that are sponsoring films. And so they would bring ideas to us and say, hey, you know, we've got this great Chinese film or this great, Indian film that we really think you should show. And so getting, you know, suggestions from, you know, our community as well. And then just really a lot of research goes into it, which is really fun. Yeah. And I mean, we'll be starting, June 15th, we'll be working on the 2016 festival.
How many programmers do you guys have?
Brian is sort of the head programmer. He really oversees everything and kind of pulls together the shape, of the festival. And then, I sort of was, you know, watched quite a few screeners this year. And then we had a handful of other people that were, you know, watching screeners and giving us recommendations and finding new stuff for us. So altogether, we probably had about 8 or 9 people watching films for the festival and passing along ideas and following up with its distributors and getting leads and everything.
What's been the reaction from the community? Have you gotten the support that you kind of think that Cinetopia deserves?
This year, I think, has been a marker of good things to come. The University of Michigan Health Systems came on board as our title sponsor, and that was just incredible. They've been an incredible support already, both as just a general sponsor, but also in terms of marketing and coming up with ideas. And, you know, they want the festival to really succeed and grow. And they're such a large part of the Southeastern Michigan community that is kind of such a great organization to work with. That was a big thing for us to see someone like that, to see us as like as an investment, you know, willing to give us money to put this on. That was really, really incredible. And then just the community in general. I mean, we have a ton of people who have bought passes already. And that's a really good sign. You know, that's a good marker for us, because that shows that people are interested in not just seeing one film, but are in, you know, starting to get the idea, you know, and get the sense that, you know, a festival is something you block out 2 days and you just go see a lot of films. And people are really interested in that. And then, you know, since we've released the program online, we've gotten a lot of comments and feedback. You know, friends of mine said, oh, I really want to see that. You know, there's a group of my friends and I that are going to be going to Jaws, the opening night in Ann Arbor on June 11th. We're going to be showing Jaws in the big screen outside. So I've got a group of friends that are really excited about that. The community support, I mean, it's been there since the beginning. Ann Arbor, especially, since that's where we started out, has been a fantastic home and birthplace for the festival. And as we've grown into Detroit, it's just been met with, you know, a really warm reception, and people are very excited about it. I think there are a lot of film lovers in the Southeastern Michigan area. They've just really been showing their support for Cinetopia, and by all means, we can grow, and we look forward to growing. But I think, you know, the people that we have so far and that are invested in us have just been really, really supportive. I'm amped. I'm psyched. It's this is the calm before the storm, and you know, once we're in it, it's just going to be. I mean, you know, then you're just in it, and it's awesome, and it's great. I'm really looking forward to seeing people with their badges, just going from film to film. And being that this is my first year, you know, being much more, I mean, my desk is next to Brian's. So the previous years, I always watch him program the festival. And so I know what's coming, and I, you know, and I can sort of see, you know, what he's doing. And that's been really exciting. And so this year, being involved in a much deeper level, I'm so excited for people to see these films, you know, because I love them. And I expect that people will love them just as much as I have.
So where can folks go to buy tickets and find out more about the festival?
Best place to go is cinetopiafestival.org. We've got tickets, we've got passes, and we've got 4-pack tickets. And the whole program, everything is online at the Michigan and State Theater currently, and at a lot of places around town, as well as in Detroit, at Cinema Detroit, the DIA, and other shops and stuff around. In Detroit, we've got our program guide out. So those are available. I definitely recommend picking one up. It's really fantastic. And it's got everything in there. It's got descriptions. It's got the schedule grid, some highlights, all sorts of things. Cinetopiafestival.org, and get ready.
I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around. So the very next day when I punched in with my big lunchbox and with help from my friend, I left that day with a lunchbox full of gears. I've never considered myself a thief, but GM wouldn't miss just one little piece, especially if I strung it out over several years. The first day I got me a fuel pump, and the next day I got me an engine and a trunk. Then I got me a transmission and all the chrome. The little things I could get in my big lunchbox, like nuts and bolts and all four shocks, but the big stuff we snuck out my buddy's mobile home. Now up to now my plan went all right, till we tried to put it all together one night, and that's when we noticed that something was definitely wrong. The transmission was a 53 and the motor turned out to be a 73, and when we tried to put in the bolts all the holes were gone. So we drilled it out so that it would fit, and with a little bit of help from an adapter kit, we had that engine running just like a song. Now the headlights, there was another sight. We had two on the left and one on the right, but when we pulled out the switch, all three of them come on. The back end looked kind of funny too, but we put it together, and when we got through, well, that's when we noticed that we only had one tail fin. About that time, my wife walked out, and I could see in her eyes that she had her doubts. But she opened the door and said, "Honey, take me for a spin." So we drove uptown just to get the tags, and I headed to ride on down Main Drag. I could hear everybody laughing for blocks around. But up there at the courthouse, they didn't laugh, cause to type it up, it took the whole staff. And when they got through, the title weighed 60 pounds. I got it one piece at a time, and it didn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, cause I'll have the only one there is around. Yeah, Red Rider, this is the Cottonmouth in the Psycho Billy Cadillac, come on. Paul. This is a Cottonmouth, and negatory on the cost of this machine there, Red Rider. You might say I went right up to the factory and picked it up. It's cheaper that way. What model is it? Well, it's a 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59 automobile. It's a 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70 automobile.